Welcome to the Fox Corporation 2021 Annual Meeting of Stockholders, and thank you for attending the meeting. We realize that you may have questions that you would like to ask today, and we request that everyone please be mindful to keep their comments and questions to the time allotted. As noted in the rules of the meeting that were provided to you when you registered today, please direct all questions and comments to the Executive Chairman. Each speaker who has a question about any of the proposals or the business and operations of the company will be recognized once, regardless of the number of shares the speaker owns or proxies he or she presents. Only one speaker will be recognized for each organization or shareholder. Speakers are limited to one question, which should be no longer than 1 minute in length and is related to the matters being considered at this annual meeting and to the business of Fox Corporation. The use of cameras, recording devices, and other electronic devices is prohibited at the annual meeting. We ask that you comply with these and other rules of the meeting so that we may conduct an orderly meeting. In the interest of supporting the health and well-being of everyone here today, we also ask that you adhere to the health and safety protocols provided to you and posted on our website. If anyone has not received the rules for today's meeting, please raise your hand and a staff member will bring you a copy now. Thank you. The meeting will now begin.
All right, everybody's putting them on.
Good morning, thank you all for joining us. I'm Lachlan Murdoch, Executive Chairman and CEO of Fox Corporation. It is my pleasure to welcome you to our 2021 Annual Meeting of Stockholders. Let me start by introducing our directors, all of whom are nominated for election at this meeting. They are joined by key members of our management team. On stage with me are directors, Mr. Rupert Murdoch, Chairman, Mr. Roland Hernandez, Chairman of the Audit Committee, Mr. Jack Nasser, Chairman of the Compensation Committee and Lead Independent Director, Speaker Paul Ryan, Chairman of the Nominating and Corporate Governance Committee, Mr. William Burke, Mr. Chase Carey, and Ms. Ann Diaz. Joining us on stage as well is Mr. Via Dinh, Chief Legal and Policy Officer, and additionally, in the front row, appropriately socially distanced, are Mr. John Nallen, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Steve Tomsic, Chief Financial Officer. Also present today are Mr. Ian Edelson of Ernst & Young LLP, the company's independent registered public accounting firm. In accordance with the company's bylaws, I hereby appoint Mr. Jim Raitt from American Election Services, LLC as the independent inspector of election for this annual meeting. Before we commence the formal business of the meeting, I would like to give some remarks on our progress at Fox this past year. We completed fiscal 2021 on solid footing and have commenced this new fiscal year strongly, supported by industry-leading affiliate revenue growth and the healthiest ad market we have seen in some time. These robust indicators are seen across our operating businesses, which include the return to a full slate of live events at Fox Sports, the expansion of ratings leadership at Fox News, and continued exceptional growth from Tubi. Audiences are migrating to live news, sports, and streaming, underscoring the operational and financial pillars that have defined our short history at Fox Corporation. These trends are seen on the advertising front, where Fox is benefiting from a market in which brands are increasingly seeking out the engaged, real-time audiences that Fox delivers at scale. Similarly, our affiliate revenue continues to deliver exceptional growth, reflective of the power that our core brands hold in the pay TV universe. Our commitment to keeping our highest profile content, like the NFL, exclusive to our distribution partners, gives us confidence that the healthy annual price escalators we've commanded for our brands in the past will carry over into the future. Supporting this growth is the focus and momentum that is fundamental to each of the key businesses at Fox. Last month, Fox News celebrated its 25th anniversary and arguably carries more momentum than ever before. We took the opportunity to recognize what this unique and important voice has achieved over the last quarter century and expressed our gratitude to our employees, including those 120 employees who have been there from the start. After 25 years on the air, we continue to expand our leadership position. For example, in fiscal year 21, Fox News again was the most watched network in primetime across all basic cable networks, a mantle it has held for 6 consecutive years. In fact, at previous points over the past year, the Fox News channel was the most watched network in all of television, beating all 4 broadcast networks. This momentum has accelerated into the current fiscal year, with Fox News Channel achieving multi-year high market shares, reaching 55% market share in the month of October. At Fox Sports, we also had a landmark year with the completion of our new media rights agreement with the NFL, ensuring that Fox remains the home of the Sunday NFC package for the next 13 seasons. As part of this new deal, Fox expanded its digital rights, added new and exclusive holiday games, and will broadcast 4 of the next 12 Super Bowls. In partnership with sports, Fox Entertainment delivered the Fox Network its 2nd consecutive broadcast season as the top network in prime time among the key demographic, adults 18 to 49. Fox kicked off the 2021 fall television season, this is last season, with the number one new series, the number one comedy, and the number one drama. Complementing the broadcast network, Tubi continues to exceed our high expectations, recently surpassing 3 billion hours streamed, up more than 50% over the prior year. This total view time metric is a differentiator for Tubi against other AVOD platforms and what correlates most closely with monetization, where we saw fiscal 2021 advertising revenues increase almost 170% versus what Tubi achieved in the prior year. Tubi's younger, multicultural viewers provide an attractive offering to advertisers. We are focused on winning in the AVOD space, with Tubi offering over 35,000 titles for free, in contrast with SVOD platforms that are spending substantial resources on content. In addition to our national businesses, our local Fox television stations played a key role in propelling the company to a record-breaking political advertising cycle in fiscal 21. The geographic mix of our stations, which includes both the largest traditional battleground states and emerging swing states, strategically positions us for a significant share of local political ad spends. We expect the strength of our local station footprint to again generate a greater share of what looks to be another vibrant advertising cycle in the 2022 midterm elections. At the corporate level, we continue to make investments and acquisitions aligned with our strategic growth plans, while maintaining a strong balance sheet which provides the flexibility for the company to continue to return capital to shareholders. Reflecting our confidence in the health of our businesses, we returned approximately $1.3 billion of capital to shareholders in fiscal 21 in the form of our semi-annual dividend and share buyback program. We also increased our overall buyback authorization from $2 billion to $4 billion. Our unique strategy puts us in an enviable competitive position with an intentionally differentiated portfolio and approach that will further propel our growth and drive exceptional value for shareholders. We are grateful to you, our shareholders, and to our dedicated employees for the many contributions they make to our company every day. Thank you for joining us today, both here in person and those of you doing so virtually. And now, on to the formal business of this meeting. This meeting is held pursuant to a notice of annual meeting of stockholders mailed on or about September 17th, 2021, to each shareholder or record holder of a share of common stock on September 13th, 2021. A list of holders of the company's Class B common stock entitled to vote at this meeting has been available at the company's headquarters for the past 10 days and is available at the meeting for examination by any stockholder desiring to do so. Pardon me. All documents concerning the call and notice of this meeting are available here today and will be filed with the records of the meeting. The Inspector of Election has examined the proxies received and reports that holders of a majority in voting power of all the outstanding shares of Class B common stock entitled to vote at the meeting are present in person or represented by proxy. Therefore, I hereby declare a quorum present at the meeting. On behalf of our Board of Directors, I would like to express my appreciation to all stockholders who returned their proxies. It is now 10:09 a.m. on November 10th, 2021. The polls are now open for voting. Those stockholders voting in person should mark their ballots, and a company representative will be available to collect them for tabulation. Those of you who requested a ballot so that you could vote in person were provided with a ballot when you entered the meeting. Ballots are also available in the room where registration took place. However, we urge stockholders to allow their proxies to stand. You will have an opportunity to ask questions after all matters being submitted to stockholders for vote are presented. Please hold your questions until that time. The first matter to be acted upon by the stockholders is Proposal 1, the election of directors. The board has nominated William Burke, Chase Carey, Ann Dias, Roland Hernandez, Rupert Murdoch, Jack Nasser, Paul Ryan, and myself to serve as directors. If elected, these director nominees will each serve a one-year term expiring at the 2022 annual meeting or until their successors are duly elected and qualified. Proposal 2, for the ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022. Proposal 3 is for an advisory vote on executive compensation. We also have two proposals submitted by stockholders who, if they so desire, may speak for no more than 2 minutes on their respective proposals. First, we have Mr. John Chevedden, who is serving as Mr. Kenneth Steiner's representative. Mr. Steiner has given notice to the company that he intends to present for action at this meeting the proposal to disclose direct and indirect lobbying activities and expenditures, which is included in the company's proxy statement as Proposal 4. As disclosed in the proxy statement, the board recommends the stockholders vote against the proposal. Mr. Chevedden, would you like to speak briefly to this proposal?
Yes, this is John Chevedden for Kenneth Steiner. I move Proposal 4, asking Fox to report on the state of the on its state and federal lobbying expenditures, including indirect funding of lobbying through trade associations and social welfare groups. After the January 6 riots, many companies announced that they would stop making political contributions to lawmakers who voted to reject the certification of the presidential election. But the question now being asked is whether the changes will only be temporary emergency measures to repair damaged reputations or something more lasting. As a result, investors are asking companies like Fox to commit to corporate political responsibility by disclosing all dark money payments to third-party groups that use that money to influence policy. Fox currently provides no details to stockholders on its lobbying, nor its membership and payments to trade associations and social welfare groups that also lobby. Since 2019, Fox has spent more than $8 million in federal lobbying, and there is incomplete disclosure about the spending at the state level, where Fox also lobbies. For example, Fox has spent over $1 million on lobbying in California since 2019. Fox is required to report its lobbying and already has this information, so it could easily provide this information to the board of directors and to the shareholders in one comprehensive report. Corporations contribute millions to trade associations that lobby indirectly on their behalf without specific disclosure or accountability. Fox fails to even disclose its trade association memberships and payments, and the portions of these payments that are used for lobbying. Fox also fails to disclose payments to 501c4 social welfare organizations, which can also lobby. For example, the Rule of Law Defense Fund is a social welfare group that helped organize the protests before the January 6 riots and is an arm of the Republican Attorney General's Association. Does Fox make contributions to groups like the Rule of Law Defense Fund? We have no way to know because Fox fails to disclose its contributions to social welfare groups. Disclosure transparency is a safety measure for our company and its reputation, as what gets disclosed gets managed. Full disclosure of Fox's lobbying, including all third-party payments, will ensure proper oversight of Fox's lobbying, and I ask shareholders to vote for this proposal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chevedden. I'll ask Speaker Ryan to respond on the board's behalf as he's the chair of the Nominating and Corporate Governance Committee.
John, nice to see you, and thank you for your proposal. We took careful consideration of the proposal, and the board recommends a vote against the proposal, and let me list the reasons. First, Fox already publishes a substantial amount of the information requested by the proponent. The board acknowledges that our stockholders have an interest in receiving relevant information about our participation in the political process, clearly. We believe that we are appropriately transparent with respect to our lobbying activities and the government and risk mitigation procedures we have in place regarding these activities. Fox has adopted a political activities policy posted on our website, which contains policies and procedures for corporate and employee engagement in the political process. These policies and procedures address lobbying public officials, making corporate or personal political contributions, and supporting the Fox Political Action Committee, among other matters. We have a dedicated government relations department that oversees these matters and reports to senior management. Contributions made by the Fox Political Action Committee are publicly disclosed on the Federal Election Commission website. In addition, each quarter, Fox files a publicly available lobbying disclosure report, the Form LB-2, with the House of Representatives Office of the Clerk. The report addresses, among other matters, overall aggregate expenses associated with federal lobbying activity, names of all federal registered lobbyists employed by Fox in related policy areas, and specific bills or legislation on which Fox has lobbied. Moreover, there is no generally accepted definition of grassroots lobbying communication, and the Lobbying Disclosure Act does not require disclosures related to such communications. We note that we do account for the expense of lobbying through trade associations by incorporating the expense we are invoiced by such trade associations in our quarterly form LB-2 filing. Fox maintains membership in trade associations and other tax-exempt entities primarily for strategic rather than advocacy-related purposes. Fox maintains memberships in certain trade associations and other organizations specific to our industry interests, such as the National Association of Broadcasters, the NCTA, the Internet and Television Association. These organizations engage in advocacy projects, but also perform industry research and provide up-to-date information about industry best practices. Excessive disclosure about our relationships with such organizations could harm our ability to productively participate in industry-wide associations and provide competitors with insights into our confidential strategic objectives. Although the board is recommending a vote against this proposal, in light of your earnest proposal, we're going to review all of our disclosures and lobby activities and our expenditures to ensure that we're upholding the utmost amount of clarity and transparency without jeopardizing the operation.
Thank you very much, Speaker Ryan. Next, we'll hear again from Mr. Chevedden, who is also serving as Ms. Ann B. Butterfield's representative. Ms. Butterfield has given notice that she intends to present for action at this meeting the proposal to transition to a public benefit corporation, which was included in the company's proxy statement as Proposal 5. As disclosed in the proxy statement, the board recommends the stockholders vote against this proposal. Mr. Chevedden, would you like to speak briefly to this proposal?
Yes. Shareholders request that the board of directors take the steps necessary to amend the Fox governing documents to become a public benefit corporation with no person having ownership of more than 41% of the shares of Class B stock at the time of the amendment. Shareholders request that one of the public benefits included in the amendment to be to provide the company's viewers with an accurate understanding of current events through the exercise of journalism with integrity, or such other public benefits as the Board of Directors determines to benefit Fox viewers in a similar manner. 43% of Americans trust Fox News for political news. This reach creates considerable power, and power demands accountability. But our corporate governance is structured to produce profits without accountability. The basic premise behind this proposal is that under current circumstances, Fox's reckless emphasis on profits can drag down the rest of one's portfolio. As a corporation, the duties of the directors prioritizes shareholders, not stakeholders. In contrast, as a public benefit corporation, the directors would balance the interests of shareholder stakeholders and those public benefits identified in the company's certificate of incorporation, allowing the corporation to protect communities, even when doing so does not always optimize profits. As a corporation focused on journalism, it is appropriate that Fox benefits its viewers with careful journalism and accurate information. The Society of Professional Journalists identifies public enlightenment as the foundation of democracy. This information can put democracy at risk, discourage public interest in environmental risk, and undermine public health. Addressing these threats could be prioritized as a public benefit corporation, even if doing so sacrifices some profit. The vast majority of our diversified shareholders lose when a company like Fox harms the overall economy because the value of a diversified portfolio rises and falls with gross domestic product. While a shareholder who's heavily invested in Fox may profit when the company inflicts cost on the gross domestic product by emphasizing viewer size over news accuracy, diversified shareholders bear these costs because their stocks in companies other than Fox decline. Shareholders deserve an opportunity to vote on an amendment that will align corporate governance with shareholder interests and create meaningful accountability. Please vote for this transition to a public benefit corporation emphasizing profits and accountability. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chevedden. I'll ask Mr. Jack Nasser to please make the company's position on the stockholder proposal to transition to a public benefit corporation as our lead independent director.
Thanks, Lachlan, and thank you, John. And the board has reviewed this proposal and recommends against it. To start with, the board believes that Fox already operates in a manner that considers the interests of our stockholders and other stakeholders and can continue to do so in our existing corporate form. Fox's purpose is to deliver the finest in news, sports, and entertainment, and we believe that serving all of our stakeholders, including our viewers, creative partners, our employees, distributors, and advertisers, is essential to achieving our purpose and driving long-term profitable growth, which is also in the best interests of stockholders. So in summary, Fox already operates in a manner that considers the interests of our stockholders and other stakeholders and can continue to do so in our existing corporate form. That's a strong belief from the board, and a conversion to a PBC would not result in any meaningful change or better serve the interests of our stockholders or other stakeholders. And on that basis, the board unanimously recommends an advisory vote against the proposal to transition to a public benefit corporation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nasser. I will now present, and thank you, Mr. Chevedden. I will now present the results from the Inspector of Elections preliminary report based on the proxies we have received. The Inspector of Elections final report will be filed with our corporate secretary following the meeting. A preliminary report of the Inspector of Election reflects that a majority of the eligible votes cast have been for the election of each of the directors, for the ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022, for the approval of executive compensation, and against the stockholder proposal to disclose direct and indirect lobbying activities, and also against the stockholder proposal to transition to a public benefit corporation. Thank you very much for your support. We will report the final results of this meeting in an SEC filing, which we will make after the market closes today. If you are a stockholder and have a question regarding any of the proposals or regarding the business and operations of the company, you may step up to the microphones and present the purple or yellow admission ticket that you received upon registering with the company representative. Before asking your question, please state your name and affiliation. As noted in the rules of the meeting that were provided to you when you registered today, each speaker will be recognized once, regardless of the number of shares the speaker owns or proxies the speaker represents. Only one speaker will be recognized for each organization or shareholder. Each speaker is limited to one question, which should be no more than a minute in length. We ask that you comply with the rules of the meeting so that we can conduct an orderly meeting and those who would like to speak have an opportunity to do so. At this time, stockholders may proceed to the microphones to ask any questions you may have.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Michael Kellogg. I'm a shareholder of Fox, and I just want to express I'm sure I represent many shareholders on this particular expression of appreciation and gratitude for the board's authorization of share repurchases. I think that the shares are of great value here, and I think that our purchases certainly, at a minimum, could be a currency in the future. And there certainly is a lot going on with the company as far as some of these sequel elections that we have coming up, the 2B, and also the online gambling. And I just wanted to express my appreciation. For a quick question, I spoke with Joe before, and he answered my questions, and I appreciated that very much. A quick question, it's not a real concern to me because I believe that we have a certain Fox fan base watching our cable features. But with the cutting of cable, is this getting down to a certain level where it's plateauing now?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kellogg. First, I'll address on that. I know it wasn't a question, and I appreciate your appreciation on the share buyback. You know, the board, as you know, authorized a further $2 billion share buyback. In the last year, in the last fiscal year, I think between share buybacks and dividends, we returned capital to shareholders of about $1.3 billion. And this past fiscal, this current fiscal year we're in, we've already bought back, I think, around $300 million worth of shares. So we fully expect to utilize the board's full approval of the additional $2 billion in buybacks, you know, over a period of time. And we see it's an important tool for us to return value to shareholders. So it's something that we will continue to do. In terms of the cable universe, what we're seeing is a lessening of sort of cable subscribers by about 4.5% year over year. That's been pretty consistent for some time now. Sometimes it's a little higher, sometimes a little bit lower. And what that's really doing is actually making the kind of intentional structure of New Fox, of Fox Corporation, I think more valuable to the cable bundle. Because what people remain watching on cable is live news and live sports. You know, general entertainment channels on cable are really not being, you know, watched at the scale that they once were. So it means that our assets are actually more valuable in that bundle, and we will over time garner a higher share of the cable fees that we can take from our distributors. So we feel we're in a very well positioned, strategically positioned, as the cable bundle goes forward.
Thank you very much. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kellogg. Yes.
Hi, I'm Hunter Luke. I'm a shareholder. My question to you is, your competitors are starting to get a lot of, they have a lot of cash and capital to back, or this is targeted towards your entertainment part of Fox Corporation. Will Fox see a problem in being able to attract the best talent and management that other competitors are using their capital to acquire the former talent of Fox Entertainment employees?
Thank you very much. What was it, Mr. Luke, was it?
Luick.
Oh, Luick. Thank you very much, Mr. Luick. Look, I think when we sold, you know, a few years ago now, our entertainment, the bulk of our entertainment assets to Disney, you know, we did it, you know, very clearly understanding and that we were getting out of the, you know, entertainment production, business. And we'd focus on live news, live sports, the entertainment network, and which is a distribution network effectively on our TV stations. So that was a very intentional strategic move to get out of the entertainment production business. And we don't see any great need to get back into that business in any large scale. You know, the entertainment network is really thriving as you know, an independent network, independent from a large production company. What you're seeing, though, in the market, though, is a lot of our competitors use their capital, right, to invest heavily in content, really to drive their subscription video on demand services. We don't have a subscription video on demand service. We have a small one in Fox Nation for news, but we don't have an entertainment subscription video on demand service. So we don't need that scale or to deploy that capital into a subscription service. We do have a very differentiated strategy in our acquisition of Tubi. As a free service that can be also independent of a production company. Tubi has today over 35,000 titles that you can watch for free. It's advertising driven and it's growing in popularity all the time. So our strategy is very different from our competitors and doesn't require the sort of capital we're seeing them invest in entertainment. Thank you for the question, Mr.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other ballots that need to be collected? It is now 10:30 a.m. on November 10th, 2021. The polls are now closed. That concludes the business described in the notice of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your attendance. Any stockholder wishing to inspect the minutes should contact our corporate secretary. Thank you all very much. And I'm sorry for all the social distancing. Hopefully next year we can sit closer together. It's good to see you all. Thank you.
That will conclude Fox Corporation's annual meeting. Thank you for attending.